don't we give the Lord a hand, church? That's just a little taste of this past year. All the exciting things that God did and that you did, that you were a part of this past year. Today is our State of the Church address. I've been doing this now for, I guess, the past 3 or 4 years on Sunday mornings at the beginning of the year. And just looking back, what we're going to do today is look back and celebrate together 2022, but also talk about our vision for 2023 and what God is calling us to as a church, and most importantly, who He's calling us to be. Right? It's first about who we are before what we do. What's our character? What's our commitment to Jesus like? How much do we love Him and how intimately connected are we to Christ? And so before we talk about that vision for this coming year, we want to take the opportunity, like I said, to celebrate. You saw all those pictures of all of the mission work and all the ministry and all the disciple making and all the hope that we gave this past year. And so I want to take some time to walk through that with us and just to bring some of this to our attention. But before I do that, first of all, we want to give glory to God, don't we, church? Come on, somebody. We want to give God the glory. Yeah, let's give Him glory. Come on, church. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the scripture says this. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." So as we get started, let's give God the praise, right? To give all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the Spirit of God that saves people. It's Jesus who went to the cross and died for our sins and rose from the dead. It's only in Him that we have eternal life. And so as we boast about these things, we are boasting in our God first and foremost, right? And so, man, we thank God for all that He's done. Also, in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing there to the church at Philippi, and his sentiment there for the church, I echo for Living Hope in these days and in this context of all that God did this past year. Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation." That's the word, right? Participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And so let's give credit where credit is due. First to God, but then secondly, church, to you. It is such a blessing as a pastor to have people that participate in the gospel. And there are so many of you who give faithfully. You serve tirelessly, man, involved in ministry, praying and worshiping, investing your life into this ministry and into this city and into what God's doing through Living Hope. And so from the bottom of my heart, my wife's heart, our family, our staff, we are grateful to God for you. It is such a joy to do life and ministry with you. So thank you. All that you see today, it's because of God, number one, but also number two, because of your participation. This doesn't happen. These things don't happen unless we all are giving, serving, inviting others to come to church and to know Jesus. And so that participating in the gospel. So thank you for your participation in the gospel. Okay? Our purpose as a church, just a reminder, what's our purpose? Love God and, come on church, love people. That's our purpose. That's the reason we exist. Love God and love people. And our mission, we say here our mission, Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28. He said, go and make disciples. And we say it like this, give hope and make disciples. Give the hope of Jesus by making disciples of Him. And so that's what we do. We give hope and we make disciples. This past year, when you talk about all the hope that we were able to give in Jesus' name, here's just some examples of that. First of all, locally, what all did we do? Did God do through His people this year? Well, this past year, our giving was a historic number. Over $2 million was given total by you, historic number, to this ministry. Our benevolence ministry, I don't know if you realize this or not, but we literally gave thousands of dollars away paying people's rent, paying light bills, helping people get groceries and gas. Inflation's a real thing. Can I get an amen this morning? And so we were able to come alongside because of you and bless a whole lot of folks. And we share Jesus, by the way, with everybody that even asks for help, even if we can't help them at that moment. But the more that's given, the more that we can give away. So, Benevolence Ministry. We hosted multiple events. I don't know if you realize this or not, but our building is now a go-to resource for our school system. And so we've got a lot of different groups, especially sports teams that come in and have banquets and gatherings here. And that's why we built it, isn't it, church? Not just for us, but also for our community. We built our second Habitat house this year. Isn't that awesome? And Miss Sonora and her two of her grandkids moved into it right before Christmas. So what a Christmas gift that you were able to give. We were able to give together. We hosted two mobile pantries this year. Thousands of groceries to hundreds of families. Working in connection with Manna Cafe Ministries, one of our local partners here. And then our school system. We love blessing our school system, don't we, church? We love to bless our school system. We gave $5,000 to the Education Foundation of CMCSS this year to bless teachers and students. We also gave thousands of dollars of appreciation meals, supplies, over and above that, to teachers and students this year as well. Also, when you think about nationally and internationally, there's a lot that we do as a church. I don't know if you realize this or not. When you give, when you serve, your investment here is sending the gospel to the nations. Here's just a few examples of that this past year. We gave thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, mission efforts here and around the world. We gave to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that goes to international missionaries. We gave to the Annie Armstrong mission offering, which goes to church planting in large cities here in our country. The golden offering for Tennessee missions goes to Tennessee Baptist mission work here in our own state. By the way, is Middle Tennessee growing? Come on, church. Rapidly, isn't it? Whole lot of folks coming here, many that don't know Jesus. And so what an opportunity we have to get in on work here in our own state. Also, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, another ministry we support. Thousands of dollars going to a ministry that that focuses on teams and coaches on our school campuses. Incredible ministry. Mission Voice Network. Did you realize that we have a campus in Salem, India? Did you realize that? Living Hope. I know we don't talk about that every single week, so sometimes that can get lost in the shuffle. But we invested $40,000 in a district mission center in Salem, India. That was a few years back. But we financially support that work every single month through your giving. We give thousands of dollars there for a church and a child care center, a clean drinking water well, all of that through our mission center there. Chosen Children's Ministries, another ministry we support in Nicaragua, blessing children, but also families and churches that are taking the gospel into those village areas and barrios. Okay, Ethnos 360 Mission Ministry in Papua New Guinea. We support missionaries there. Thousands of dollars going to them. Living Faith Church in Indianapolis. Did you realize that? We have a church plant we support in Indianapolis that focuses on college students. How many of you know a college student is broke up in here? Come on, somebody. And every college student in the room should have raised their hand. Like, yes, at this point in life I am. And with that said, we love investing thousands of dollars in that ministry because they're reaching folks that don't have a lot. And so we're able to come alongside and bless them where they can continue to reach college students, especially for Christ. And then we have another missionary family in our church, Adam and Chandra Moma, that work with City Church Network. We give thousands of dollars to them as well to support disciple-making and specifically disciple-making movements, house churches, organic disciple-making movements here and around the world. And we say it like this. Listen, you don't give to Living Hope. You give, we give, I give, you give through Living Hope. Let me say that again. When you give, you're not giving to Living Hope necessarily. We give through Living Hope to others. And we believe in giving hope here and around the world. Man, let's give God praise for all that he did this year in missions, outreach, giving hope. But not only do we give hope, we also say that we make what, church? Disciples. Make disciples. Here's some points of celebration this past year. We grew 10% in worship. I don't know if you realize that or not. From 737 to 808 on average. So to God be the glory for that. We had 97. We found one more this past week. Don't you love finding more folks who got baptized, right? In our system, one that we had missed by accident. We actually baptized 97 people this past church year. Just an incredible number of folks whose lives have been changed. We launched a third campus together at Dunbar Cave. Everybody tracking on that? Third campus now off Dunbar Cave Road. Dunbar Cave Baptist Church. Small Baptist church. It was struggling coming out of COVID. Came to us and said, "Would y'all take us over, man, and let's do ministry together?" And we prayed about it and said, "Absolutely." Pastors and trustees together voted and said, "Absolutely, we want to do that." We sent Pastor Blake over there, our student pastor at the time. He's doing an incredible job. I'll give you more of an update on that here in just a moment. We launched a ministry called Mom Life. Moms, did you realize that? We got Mom Life at our Dunbar Cave campus as well. It's so incredible ministry to young moms that meets on Tuesday mornings. You can find out more information about that on our website. We launched a worship gathering. Did you realize this? In a nursing home. Some of you may not be tracking on that. We have a church member named Miss Mary Moran who has a real heart for ministry and for those in that senior season of life. And we have started a worship gathering. So we've got a campus and a nursing home. I mean, that's pretty cool just to get to minister to folks in every season of life. And lastly, just want to highlight, we also launched counseling ministry here. So every Thursday, we have a licensed professional counselor that drives from Brentwood, partners with us, comes here and ministers to folks' emotional and mental health needs as well. And so it meant so much that God did. But discipleship is much more than just attendance, isn't it? It's much more than buildings and programs. That's a part of it. But it's more about life change. And there have been dozens of folks this past year whose lives have been changed by the gospel, who are growing in Christ. How many of you can attest this year, you know what? I have grown in Jesus this year. Just lift your hand up. Yeah, bunch of folks. Grown in the Word. Grown in prayer. Church, we've had five people. This is one of my biggest points of celebration this year for our staff and for our church and for you. We've had five people in our church that have grown in the Lord since the call to ministry. Five church members that we have brought on our ministerial staff this year. I mean, that's just cool to see. It's so awesome to see God raising up people right out of the church that say, "I want to give my life full time to this." And so to God be the glory for that. So much that God has done this past year. Aren't you grateful for the goodness of God, church? Come on, somebody. And I don't know about you, we should never take for granted. I grew up in the church, and seeing life change like this is not the norm. It's not the norm. And to God be the glory for that. I don't say that self-serving today like it's about me or our staff. It's about you. It's about God. It's about this city. It's about what the Spirit of God is choosing to do in these days. And I'm just glad I get to be a part of it, man. And it's a rare thing to see God moving in this way. And we have a stewardship. Church, listen to me. We have a stewardship of this influence. This city is growing rapidly. And there are hundreds, thousands of people moving in right next door to us every single month. Folks moving in who don't know Jesus. And what an influence we have in these days. And so would to God that we would be faithful, right? To continue to pray and give and serve and share the gospel with others. And so with that said, what's the vision? Where are we at? What's going on as a church? Well, glad you asked. Okay? Let me give you some quick updates. If you're with me, say amen. We're going to open the Word in just a moment and look in Matthew chapter 4. Before we do that, I want to give you some updates. First of all, campus updates. We have three total campuses, obviously, including our Sango campus. Tylertown is doing great. Incredible things going on there. The Learning Center at Tylertown, we brought on a new director there, and it's basically at capacity, almost at full capacity now at our Learning Center. And Pastor Irvin and our team over there doing an incredible job. We baptized 38 people just at Tylertown this past year. Come on and give God praise for that. Isn't it exciting? Exciting stuff. But when you talk about our campuses, probably the most exciting piece is the Dunbar Cave piece. To get to come alongside and help a church revitalize that's struggling. And that's part of that stewardship of our influence, right? We've got some resources. And when you have churches that are struggling that say, will you help us? We've got a heart for that. And so Dunbar Cave, when they voted to merge with us, I think it was 20 people that voted. And about five of them were from the house. They were shut-ins. And so you had about 15 people who were attending Dunbar Cave regularly on a Sunday morning. Now at Dunbar Cave, I'm excited to tell you we're averaging, staying consistently around 70 people in worship. And that's less than a year ago that we merged. And we've already baptized three people over there. The first three people that have been baptized in the last 5 years out of that location. Man, we got to give God praise for that. Come on, church, it's exciting. So just incredible things God is doing there. Our budget. Just want to take a second to highlight the budget. All the non-number folks in the room, I apologize. Just hang out. Take a pause for a minute. By the way, ministry plan booklet. Okay, Living Hope Faithful. Give me the north, south. Give me a head nod. Yes, Pastor. I see the booklet. Thank you. This is available at the Welcome Center desk also. It's got the budget breakdown in it. It's also got all the major events. You can put this right on your bulletin board. Put it in your calendar on your phone. All the major events for the year. Okay, to include DNOW for youth, summer camp for youth, mission trips, major events of the church. So grab that. And it's also, as I said just a moment ago, it's also got our budget breakdown in it, which you see on the screen behind me, okay? I just want to highlight a couple of things. You can get this and read this on your own. Anytime you have a question, Living Hope Faithful especially, as a church member, if you have a question about our budget or what we're investing in at any point in time, all you got to do is reach out to myself or our staff. We'll be glad to answer any question you have, okay? Just 2 points of celebration I want to highlight for us. First of all, we've increased going into 2023, this year's budget, we have increased our ministry's budget 60%. I say this to some of my pastor friends, we're the leanest, you know, 1,000-person church, 800 to 1,000-person church in the country. Because we have church in a gym. Most churches would have already built a large building by now, but we really felt impressed of God to multiply, to start campuses, to go out to our city and continue to reach more for Christ that way. We're in a building campaign now. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Feel like now's the right season to build here at Sango. But with that said, we've asked our ministries, kids, students, adult discipleship, you know, all those age group type of ministries, we have asked them to really work on a shoestring budget for a pretty long time now. So our pastors and staff said, you know what, it's time for, and our trustees, it's time for us to invest more in the fellowship, you listening? Discipleship and care of the body. Okay, so 60% increase this year in our ministries line. And also, you know, God's telling us to build here at Sango and also eventually at Tylertown as well. But we just feel like we got to keep giving more away. Come on, church, isn't that right? It's more blessed to give than receive. That's kind of in the Bible, isn't it? And by the way, giving is seed. If I'm going to teach you and us as a church to give personally, then as a church, we need to give corporately, don't we? It's the same principle. And God will give back to us. There's enough to go around, man. And so this year, we've also increased our missions budget another 22% on top of everything. Okay? As a church, our total debt. This is important because we're talking about building a new building. A lot of questions that come about that. You'll see that in this budget. We listed it specifically so you could see and so that we could all commit together to continue to knock that debt down as we get ready to build a new building. Our total debt right now is about $4.5 million across four properties when you include our office now across the street. Everybody tracking, we've got an office across the street now. House we bought there and turned into an office. So you got Tylertown, you got Dunbar Cave, you got Sango, and you got our office across the street with the 12 acres behind it, which was donated. There's no debt on that property. That was donated to us. And so it's about $4.5 million in debt. And so church, give. Historic giving this past year, but God is taking us to new places, exciting places, and so much more that he wants to do. And so let me encourage us to continue to give, okay? So let me give you a quick staffing update. If you're with me, say amen. Stay with me. It's important, I promise. And don't you walk out of here and say, I don't know what's going on. I promise you, I'll whip you in Jesus' name with a wet noodle. I will. Don't you walk out of here and say, I don't know what's going on. It's because you're not listening. Now listen, okay? Staff update. What's going on with staff? I know we've had some transitions with staff this past year. But we're excited to share with you. We're currently looking for 4 staff. We have already added 1 staff member in our tech department. So we've got a new tech director named Daniel Lockwood in our tech, the creative and tech department. But also we're looking for 4 more staff here. Currently in process. Looking for all 4 of these staff members. Number 1, family pastor. That's adult discipleship. Can't go into all the details right now, but I am excited to announce we're pretty close, it looks like, with a candidate. But pray for us. You know, things can change. So looking for a family pastor. Number 2, we're looking for a full-time next generation pastor. That's youth and college. Okay, so looking for a full-time next generation pastor. Number 3, we're looking for a part-time pre-K director. And that one I'll just lay out to the church body. If there are any of you, especially any of you ladies, who would really sense a desire to jump in and help with our pre-K ministry, we need someone who will come in and love on kids, help Miss Megan. We've grown there, so we need more help in that area. So any of you that might be interested in a part-time pre-K role, come talk to us. And then fourthly, an executive assistant. Miss Chelsea Sizemore, my assistant, has moved into our financial office and is doing our financial books and hospitality and some other stuff now. And so I'm currently looking for a full-time executive assistant who will also help us with some event planning. So pray for us in these days. Okay, pray for us that we would get the right people in these places and that we would continue to be unified together in God's mission. Okay? Vision for 2023. Okay, preacher, what are we trying to accomplish together in 2023? Right now, we're in our all-in campaign together. Raising funds, but most importantly, mobilizing for ministry, Habitat Houses, Manna Cafe, going out and serving our school system and all that give hope piece of what we do. Okay? That's a big part of our all-in movement and our commitment as a church to live outward first, to focus on reaching others before serving ourselves. Okay? But with that said, as a part of our all-in campaign, we believe God has called us to build here at Sango. As a part of our all-in campaign also, our Dunbar Cave launch was brought into that this year. We weren't planning on that, but aren't you glad that God's in control of the plans? Right? Well, you just never know what God's going to do. We're going to set plans, we're going to pray, but then we give God the plan, and He can change it anytime He wants to. But church, that plan to build here at Sango is very much on our now radar. Okay? And so with that said, this year, we're going to put a little bit of money to continue to spruce up Dunbar Cave, to continue to invest in that ministry. We're relaunching Dunbar Cave officially to the community, doing a big grand opening and a mass mailer and some canvassing and some ministry there at Easter, this Easter. So Pastor Blake and our team there are mobilizing to do that. But then second big piece, especially for all of us, but especially here at Sango, by the end of this year, we want to be ready to build. What does that mean? That means that our building plans are done, which our architect had to go back and take same idea, but phase it. Okay, how many of you know building costs are crazy? Just lift a hand. Yeah, let's all just own it. Building costs are crazy. So we had to go back and say, let's phase build this. He's working on that currently and very close to being done with it. Once we get that floor plan done, our pastors, trustees together meeting on that. Once we get that floor plan finished, then we'll get our bids. And contractors get all the documents, all the construction documents done. Then get our bids, choose a contractor, and then start working with banks and other financial institutions to figure out our financing. So by the end of the year, we want to have all that buttoned up, where all we've got to do is stick a shovel in the ground. Does that make sense? But church, listen to me. In order to do that, okay, we've already been working on this for a year. We've already been talking to banks, especially contractors and others, just getting some general ideas. I can tell you, are you listening to me? I can tell you right now, we need to raise a whole lot more money. Of course a preacher would say that. I mean, hello, y'all okay today? Of course a preacher would say that. Now, listen, all kidding aside, and Living Hope Faithful, those of you who've been with us for a long time, y'all know how lean we've been here and how much money we have committed to missions, how much money we've committed to ministry, right? We're sharing our building with a school every day of the week right now. Hello. We believe that the resources we have, God wants us to use. But it's time. It's time to build that building across the road. It's time to build that new campus. Start that process on that 12 acres across the road. When God gives you 12 acres, I mean, bless the Lord. Do you need any more of a sign? And we weren't even planning here at Living Hope on building a new campus across the street. We weren't planning on that till God handed us land. And we believe God, that we believe that's God's confirmation. As we've prayed and sought Him, our pastors and trustees together are just saying, God's telling us to build. So guys, let's go get that building. Let's do it by faith. But here's the deal. We got to raise a whole lot more money. I'm just going to be honest with you. And so $4.5 million in debt, it would be great to knock that debt out. Say $4.5 million, that's a lot. Yeah, but God owns a lot. He owns it all. And how does He get it to His church? It's when God's people give it. It's through us. So I'm challenging you this year. I'm challenging you this year. And it's not, hello, it's not about rich people giving a whole lot of money. It's about all of us giving what we can. It's about all of us doing what we can. And those of you here that are affluent, that God's blessed, He's done that for a reason. Yeah, give generously. But it's more about what? It's more about me and you, all of us, doing the absolute most that we can to make this happen. And so I'm inviting you to get in on our all-in campaign. If you're not already committed to our all-in campaign, there are many of you who came in this year. And you weren't in October of 21 when we officially launched the campaign. You didn't get to hear and see all of that. Well, now you're hearing some of it. Now you're seeing it. You can go out in the foyer area. And by the way, all those pictures and drawings, it's still the same. It's just phased. Okay, still the same look, same idea, same type of building. You can go by and see all of that. And so we're inviting you to get in on our all-in campaign. How do you do that? You can go online. You'll see the details on our website. You can click. You can set up recurring giving online where every week or every month or whatever your rhythm is as a family to give, you can set up recurring giving where it'll come straight out into God's ministry. It's all about multiplying this mission. It's all about, listen to me, people being saved. It's all about those families moving in, those new neighbors, young people, those new classmates and teammates, and all these new folks that God is bringing. God has given us an incredible influence here, and He's moving among us. It is our responsibility to take the gospel to those that don't know Him right around us, to our neighbors, then also to the nations. And so let's give. And so we'll give you more details as we meet with these financial institutions and we get more of an exact number. That'll be coming. We'll tell you how much more we got to raise. Maybe 1 million, maybe 2 million, and maybe all 4.5 to knock all the debt out. I don't know. Working on that, but I can tell you we need to raise a lot more. So let's give in these days. Let's give. But even more important than buildings, strategies, programs, as important as these things are, they're just tools to push us deeper in our faith and to reach more people for Jesus. They're just tools. So with that said, the most important question is, who does God want us to be this year? And God wants us to be, here's the word on my heart. It's our mission, it's not new, but this is the word He's put on my heart. He wants us to be disciples. Disciples. 30 days of prayer starting this Wednesday. Resources. Man, let's dig in. Let's pray. Let's be disciples. Let's be followers. Let's be lovers of Jesus. We've got a devotional resource for you. Okay? Vertical with Jesus. 30 days. Right? 30-day devotional. This book is available for you. It's out on our Welcome Center desk. We are asking for a $5 suggested donation on that. If you just can't do that, that's fine. Pick it up, run with it. It's okay. We don't mind investing that in your discipleship. But those of you that can give $5 towards that, if you do that, that'd be great. But take that book home with you. Also, if you sign up for our email devotionals, the publisher has given us the copyright permission to send that out through our email devotionals also. So you'll get this in your email inbox. But if you're like me, I like a physical copy of a Devo and a physical copy of God's Word and my time with Him, my journal out too. So grab that Devo, and that'll start. This will start this Wednesday. Jump in with us, okay? Another prayer resource I want you to check out, and this is available at our welcome desk as well. 30 days of prayer for personal revival and for the church, right here. So each day of the 30 days, starting this Wednesday, I challenge you to pray for day one on both sides of this and make that the focus of your prayer that day. When you skip that lunch time to go out to your car and to pray, or to get to a place alone and pray instead of going to your lunch, you know, going to lunch that you normally go to, pray over the entire sheet for that hour. Take that time to pray over all this, and then just to soak up God's presence. God, speak to my heart. Man, change me. Right? So grab that. Put it in your Bible. Make it a resource for this 30 days, but also for the rest of the year and the rest of your journey until Jesus comes again or you go home to be with Him. You can use this 30 days of prayer for personal revival and for the church. And let's commit. What are you going to fast from? What distractions are you going to remove? How are you going to set your focus on Jesus? Who should we be? Disciples. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, the scripture says this. It says that Jesus, while he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, this is at the beginning of his earthly ministry, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, verse 19, church, so look at it on the screen with me there and let's say it together. He said to them, you ready? Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. And in verse 20 it says, immediately they left their nets, they left the boats, they left it all and followed Jesus. Immediately. What did disciples do? What does it mean to be a disciple? We say here, know God, grow in community, go and make disciples. But let's make it even simpler than that. Right here in Matthew 4, we see what disciples do. Jesus said, they what? Follow and they fish. Follow, prayer, worship, commitment to God's word. Just soaking up His presence. Commitment to His church. Givers, servants, invested in God's movement. And participating in the gospel. That's number one. That's what it means to be a disciple. It's first about who I am. I'm a follower. And it's obvious to those in my workplace. It's obvious to those young people at my school. It's obvious to those who are neighbors of ours. It's obvious to the people around us that we love Jesus, that we're followers of Christ. It's obvious. It's not inconspicuous, mysterious, hidden. There are no undercover Christians. And so disciples follow. But secondly, what do disciples do? They fish. They fish. In that picture of fishing in New Testament days, it's a cast net. They would cast a net and try to gather a lot of fish. And so, too, we should be casting that net of the gospel wide. Family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors. Casting that net, inviting. Where does it start? Listen, church, it starts with a simple invite to church. It really does. Don't, forget the power of a simple invite and how God can use that. And so invite. I challenge you this year, young people, people of all ages, man, all year long, invite people in your workplace. Invite your neighbors. Invite your classmates and teammates. Invite folks to come with you on Sunday. Invite them to come on Wednesday night to your Bible study group or to youth worship or what we've got going on. Invite people. So we're inviting them to church, but then also God calls us to boldly take those opportunities that we have consistently around us to speak of Jesus and what He's done in our life. What did Jesus do for us? Well, we are great sinners, separated from God because of our sin, but He's a great Savior. And Jesus left heaven. He came to this earth. He lived the life we couldn't live, and He died the death that we deserve. He died on that cross for our sins. They put him in a tomb, but then he rose from the dead. And now whosoever will turn from their sin and trust in Christ, whosoever will call upon his name in submission to him as Lord, will be forgiven, made right with God. That's what it means to be saved. And that's the call in our life. We talk about fishing. We're inviting others into that same relationship with Jesus. And so today, first question is, are you a follower? That's what it means to be a child of God, to be born again, to be saved. Are you following Jesus? Is it a pattern of life for you now? Not perfection, but direction. I'm following Jesus, and I misstep at times along the way, but I'm following him. The passion of my life is to know Jesus. Is that true of your life? And if it is, children of God here today, are we fishing? It's not that hard, is it? It's so simple to invite a neighbor or invite a coworker or a family member or a friend. So easy, but yet our fear gets in the way and our flesh so often, doesn't it? And this year, God wants to destroy all that stuff in us and is calling us to step out in bold faith and invite. To fish, to cast that net wide and say, come, know this incredible God who has rocked my world.